Let's return now to the overnight plunge on stock markets on both sides of the Atlantic, the biggest falls in at least 11 months. The Dow plunged more than 4%, that's a 511-point drop, and markets in Europe fell between 3 and 4% generally, with Italy's stock exchange dropping more than 5%. The falls were sparked largely by European Commission President José Manuel Barroso warning the European debt crisis, the Eurozone debt crisis, was spreading beyond the periphery countries of Greece, Portugal and Ireland. Markets were also spooked by yet another gloomy set of statistics out of the US this week, this time on jobs. David Hale is Global Economic Advisor for the Commonwealth Bank and author of What's Next? Unconventional Wisdom on the Future of the World Economy. He joins us now from Chicago. David, welcome back to ABC Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning.
David, in terms of your question, what's next? Are we in for another rocky ride here, a GFC Mark II? Is that what we're seeing the beginning of?
I wouldn't say it's a GFC Mark II. But clearly we have had, over the last several weeks, weak economic indicators in a number of countries. We had a very close call a few days ago on the U.S. debt ceiling and concern this might set the stage for a shutdown of the U.S. government. And we've had, over several weeks, concerns about Greece, Portugal, and Ireland now spilling over in the last 10 days to a large increase in bond yields in Italy and Spain. And in contrast to the three small countries, Italy and Spain are very large countries. And if they were to have a major financial crisis, that would be a major shock to Europe, to the banks, and have, I think, quite profound consequences for the conduct of monetary policy in Europe.
Well, that's the if. It's an important if. What do you make of the comments overnight by the President of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, saying the Eurozone crisis is spreading beyond Greece, Portugal and Ireland? He didn't seem to qualify that, presumably referring specifically to Italy and Spain.
Well, we've had a large increase in their bond yields, and because Italy has a very large public debt, 120% of GDP, if this were to be a sustained increase in bond yields, this would obviously, over the next few years, further increase their fiscal deficit, make it more difficult for them to achieve the goal they've now set of having a balanced budget in 2014. Spain's public debt is much less, but it is running large deficits, so this big increase has a similarly negative effect on their position as well. So we do have a real problem here. We're not yet talking about super high yields. We're talking about yields that have gone a bit above 6%. These are not the kind of yields you find in Ireland, 12 or 13%, or Greece, 25%. But they are a sign of tension. They are a sign of concern. And it suggests the deal done 2 weeks ago to try and rescue Greece has not been effective at fully restoring confidence. And indeed, the Greek deal did set in motion a process where private owners of Greek debt could, over the next couple of years, suffer a loss of 21% on those securities. And once we set in motion the possibility of having a loss on those securities, investors asked the question, couldn't this happen again? Certainly happen again, possibly, in Ireland or Portugal, but possibly it might even affect larger countries as well. So we do have, coming out of this Greek rescue program from 2 weeks ago, an ongoing, continuing confidence problem.
A confidence problem that poses a real challenge because it has been thought that a country as large as, an economy as large as Italy's or Spain's, too big to bail in a sense. And I noticed that José Manuel Barroso was urging EU leaders to urgently revisit their rescue funds. It's a shout out for more funds for the bailout, isn't it?
Well, they created a year ago with the first Greek rescue a European Financial Stabilization Facility with about 440 billion euros of possible lending power. We've now used only about 60 or 70 billion of that to help Ireland and Portugal. The problem is, if we had to have a rescue package for Spain or Italy, we'd be talking about several hundred billion euros. It would exceed the capacity of this fund to solve the problem. Now, what they failed to do at the meeting 2 weeks ago was to agree to increase the size of the fund. They agreed to give the fund new responsibilities, to allow the fund to invest in government debt markets, to make loans to banks that get in trouble, but they left the size of the fund at 440 billion euros, and therefore it simply doesn't have the critical mass needed to deal with a crisis in countries as large as Spain and Italy. So a question lingering here, I think, over the next few weeks is, will the Eurozone finance ministers agree in the month ahead to increase the size of this fund? So if we do have a major government funding crisis in Spain and Italy, it could then intervene and help to restrain interest rates.
For most of
that
us,
that issue is still very much in play.
For most of us watching on, it's hard to make sense of what is happening and where it's going to stop. And then on the other side of the Atlantic, there's negative figures coming out of the US this week, apart from the default debate, which to some degree has been resolved, but, you know, poor retail spending, poor consumer confidence now, sluggish jobs growth. In your view, what is the biggest concern for global economies? Is it America just not kick-starting again, or is it this the fears of the debt concerns in Europe?
Well, there's a couple of things in play here. First, we were all quite optimistic about the U.S. economy 6 months ago because in December of last year, the President and the Congress agreed to continue the Bush tax cut program and to give some new tax cuts, a cut in payroll taxes, better depreciation allowances for business if they made new capital investments. So most economists back in January thought we'd have a growth rate of 3 or 4%. We then had three headwinds. The revolutions in North Africa and the Middle East driving up the oil price over 30%, the Japanese earthquake greatly disrupting production of the automobile industry all over the world, and the case of the U.S., some very severe weather. It's very severe storms that affected construction activity in the first quarter, lots of typhoons in the second quarter, again affecting home building, sales, and things like that. Now, the big disappointment here in the last month is we had hoped these headwinds were fading. The price of gasoline has fallen 30 cents in the last 8 weeks. It appears the damage from the Japanese earthquake has now largely been corrected, and there will be in the next 2 or 3 months a big increase in Japanese car production here in the U.S. But in the last month, we've had weak numbers for retail sales, for employment, and that suggests the economy may have lost momentum over and beyond these three headwinds. And if that's the case, the economy's growth rate here in the third quarter may not be the 3 or 3.5% number economists were looking for a few months ago, but maybe something more like 1 or 2%. In addition to this concern about loss of momentum, there will be in the year ahead significant fiscal drag in the American economy. The tax cuts enacted 6 months ago will expire in December. That'll lead to a tax increase in the new year of over 2% of GDP. The Obama stimulus program enacted 2.5 years ago is now unwinding, so there'll be a spending decline equal to 1.7% of GDP. And a big chunk of that will be a decline in aid to our state and local governments. Last year, they were getting $60 billion in aid. This year, only $5 or $6 billion. And as a consequence of the fact they have fiscal deficits, they're now being forced to lay off 25 or 30,000 people every month. This has been, in the last few months, a real drag on employment growth. So with all this fiscal drag, we have the risk that for the first time in many, many years, we may get weakness in the economy, a downturn in the economy caused not by the traditional channel, monetary policy, rising interest rates, but simply the fiscal policies becoming too negative, becoming too restrictive, at a time when the economy is already sluggish.
Okay, David, thank you very much for joining us.